We're on page 137. And it will be on the left column, bottom left. Okay, the proof mimer of Tough Ratio Lambda and Dolly. So this one is going to be a little different. This one works a little differently here. Ziyikhu li truma, take for me a truma. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to have the Jewish people give from their wealth in order to build the Mishkan. Bekasha, there is a question here. Dehavale lememar yitnu, that famous question. It should say yitnu li, they shall give to me truma. What does it mean, Ziyikhu, take for me truma? Why is it that lashon? Page 137, bottom left. Pirush Rashi zal. Rashi explains. Yafrishu li mimamonam nedava. Separate off for me from their money a gift, a contribution. So it's an expression of separating off. That's the taking. You're taking off from what you have and giving to Hashem. So when Hashem uses the lashon of v'yikhu li, he's really focusing on separating off of your own wealth prior to the actual act of giving. That's what the focus is in this perspective from the Sfas Emes. V'nira, and it appears to me, shezeh habechina, this concept, this aspect, sheporesh adam dover mishalo, that a person separates something which belongs to him, umavdilo lahashem yisporech, and then separates it off, divides it off exclusively for God, Chashuv lefanav yoser miguf hanesina. That's even more precious to God than the act of giving. It's the idea that we've taken from our own, amassed a certain amount of wealth or property, and we've taken from that, separated off for Hashem. That's what we do before we give it. That concept of separating it off, that's very precious before Hashem's eyes. And he says even more precious than the gifting itself. One second, why? Why is it more precious? Kili ha-kesef. Hashem says, the money is mine anyway, right? You give it to me, it's mine, right? I own the world, the wealth, it's mine. But the act of separating off, you know, from what you have to me, oh, that's chashuv, right? That's something that you're doing on your own. Bruce?
It seems that this act of separation is a separation before people would, even though it's a different situation here, because nobody had any expenses, because Hashem took care of everything.
Money and the clothing.
Right, so we didn't have clothing, we didn't have housing, you know, all it was just given. But it seems that Hashem said this separation from your wealth seems to be like on your gross wealth, not on, well, let me figure out what it costs you to go on vacations, and you know the implication seems to be that the Sfas Emes
on whatever they
have. That way.
Right. Page 137.
Could any of this happen in Gan Eden? That was a whole separate.
You mean could they separate from what they have and give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? An interesting question.
Well, you can give us your portion.
I don't know. I don't know. Because before the Chayt, I don't know what the concept of a possession was or ownership was. It could be that there was, but in a different form, Kodem HaChayt. Interesting question. I don't know. Okay. So again, the concept that he's focusing in Vayikhu, take it from me, because when a person does that and they lift it off of what they had and give it to God, that's more precious than the act of giving itself, because Hashem says, I already own the money anyway. Everything is God's. Vosel ha-nedivus b'shas maisa. That generosity, if we translate nedivus in that way, a generous heart, at the time when you give, ha-adam lahaniyach ha-fatzav ba'avur Hashem yisbarach hu ha-lakicha. That when a person leaves of that which he has for the sake of Hashem, that is taking. Shayidei halakicha misromeim hadover la Hashem yisbarach, because by means of this taking, that object which you took, which you separated off, that becomes elevated to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So doing that, saying, okay, here's $500, I'm taking $50, if you say a miser, that act of the separating the 50 off, it elevates that 50.
What it does it elevate the 500?
The rest too? Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does attach a mitzvah to the whole amount.
Mm-hmm.
The nikra teruma, and therefore the lashon is truma. Ki mi ola shamayim, because who has gone up to heaven? Rak sha'al yedei nedivus ha'adam, by means of a person's generosity, misromim ha'nedivus ad Hashem yisborach, that generosity becomes lifted and elevated up to Hashem. So he wants to say that's why it's a lashon of truma. A truma is the shorish of that is to be uplifted, to be like rum al kol goyim Hashem, or bamarom yilamdu. Truma is a lashon of lifting high. That act of the separation off of one's wealth elevates what they have up to Shemayim, and therefore the lashon of teruma. The mitzvah zu noheges b'chol davar. Now he really makes this much broader. This mitzvah applies to everything. Lihios bo chelak l'Hashem Yisparach. Did I?
Yeah. V'isa truma nitlas b'machshava.
Thank you. V'isa truma nitlas b'machshava. He says, it is brought down, I guess this is a chazal, truma is taken in thought. Truma is taken in thought, in machshava. Okay. Kind of an interesting expression.
In addition to the material,
I would think so, otherwise you haven't done anything.
But he says before, the act of the separating he seemed to imply that was the most important thing, which means the act of basically giving it over, even though I don't know why you'd separate it and not give it over, wasn't as important. So that would be, in a sense, linking it to your intentions.
And so let's hold on a minute, okay, and see if we get a clarification on that. Shal yidei machshava v'retzon tov, that by means of a person's thought and goodwill, nitlis u'misromemes ad l'shamayim, that thing is taken and lifted up to heaven, u'mitzvazu noheges b'chol dover lihiyos bo chelik l'Hashem Yisparach, and this mitzvah really is applicable to all things in that it is a portion of what belongs to God. Now, I'm not sure, Ken, on what you asked, and Bruce, on what you said. It seems to me like he's saying that everything has this concept, that whatever you own, if in your mind, in machshava, you have attributed a portion to Hashem, then that's in itself uplifting. He might be saying that. Because he says, I'll call Dover to all things. He may be saying, everything that you give, specific to the act of giving, that thought, that it belongs to Hashem, is what is it. So I'm not sure if he's talking about just the thought relevant to everything that we have, or the thought before the Maaseh. It's a little hard for me to tell. Vasuli Mikdash. So the Torah says, make a Mikdash for me, and I will dwell amongst you. Hu b'chol ma'aseh ha'adam. That applies then to all human action. Yeah, so it doesn't really seem to be taking it broader than the realm of just giving, that a person can make a Mikdash for Hashem in anything that they do, all the base of Mikdash, by attributing, right, in their machshava, a portion of that action to, that's binyan based on mikdash in anything that you do. The isa, ayin tov, the ayin ra. What is that? Echad mispar? Echad mishishim? Oh, right. It's brought down that when you give something in tzedakah, like a truma or something like that, if you give 1/40, that's an ayin tov. If it's 1/50, that's intermediate. If you give 1/60, that's considered a little bit stingy. I think this applies to truma. Is somebody being towed out there? Well, I just hear some chains and stuff.
ask hello. Is someone towing anybody down
yes.
there?
Yes. Yeah, just
getting towed. Yeah.
Whose car?
There's a black car, two door.
Oh, is it the one with the window open on this side?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been there 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Several days.
Right. Up for a week.
Wow, you operate on all levels there, right?
Well, just tear this because I didn't want anybody to get their car removed.
That's our different check.
Right. Yeah.
Here we are in the at the same time. That's a story for us to keep in mind.
Hey, how are you? Okay. Ki kishayesh mashahu ratzon lahashem yisbarach shelo yihya pachos mishishim sheyisbatel biritzonos hachitzonim rak echad mishishim nishmer lahaniach makom lachul alav shem shemayim. So he's taking the concept that something which is 1 in 60 is batel, right? Like you're cooking chicken soup and a drop of milk falls in the pot and there's 60 to 1 deflation soup against the milk being dropped, so it's okay. That little drop is no longer, it doesn't have an identity anymore, it's batel. So he says that in this way, that when a person has a little bit, even a little bit of a ratzon to Hashem Yisbarach, it shouldn't be less than 1/60th, right? Because then it's, if it's that small, then it's as if it doesn't even exist, right? It's got to be more than 1/60th. And what does that mean? That if it's really butthole to all the other, he says, ritzonos hachitzoni, all the other things that you want, all the other needs and wants that you have, if your need and your want for God is butthole to the rest of them, that doesn't really exist. But at least it has to have some identity, you know, some identity of its own. And then if it has an identity and you can attach what you're doing to a L'shem Shemayim, then the whole act is lifted. From every person whose heart will move them. Pirish, mikol mine nidivos uritzonos shenim sa'im belev ha'adam yifrishu truma. He says, beautiful shot on this, that when the Torah says, Mikol ish asher yudvenu libo, from every person who is moved by his heart, he says it as this, that there are many ways that a person's heart can be moved. A person has all different kinds of ritzonos within them, a will and a ritzon for this. So in all the different kinds of ritzonos, of spirit that move a person, make sure that there is a part of that spirit that moves you that is attaching itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
In thought.
Right. So one person may be moved by, you know, a spirit of generosity, another one by compassion, another one by maybe even anger, like he's upset that there's an injustice, so that makes him do something. Another one is moved by love, another person is moved by mishpat. All these kinds of things that could really arouse a person's heart to act, to give, he wants to say, make sure that whatever it is that moves your heart, that you find a way in your thought to attach it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Attach that ratzon to Hashem.
So that's kind of saying that differing motivations among a group of people can be okay.
Right.
As long as they are attached to
the Shem Shemayim. And even within the same person, a person is moved by many different things. If he has a certain willingness or a spirit moves him, even within that person, that's going to fluctuate. So make sure that that is in one's mind attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It does seem that opens up a big ground for a person to deceive themselves.
You mean by saying this is really the Shem Shemayim, it's not the Shem Shemayim, right?
Yeah.
And it's really
anything
some
that
other.
They feel, I'm angry, I can express it, every emotion could be,
Yeah, it's an interesting thing you say, Dovi. Maybe one way to look at that is this, that it serves as a check, you know, on the person. If a person is acting out of anger, and then they are compelled to ask themselves, I would like to do this L'shem Shemayim, they're going to really have to, you know, reposition their anger and make sure that it's properly channeled, properly expressed. As opposed to, well, I'm angry, I'm going to lash out, and it's for the sake of God, which is very destructive. If you really take this seriously, it could reconfigure the anger into
a position where it's effective and it truly is a Shem Shemayim. Maybe that's one way to look at it.
It also seems to open up ourselves to the idea that everybody's body can be a Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
That's if we're, you know, from what it's saying.
Right.
It's, you know, that depending on if we'll open ourselves up for that.
Right. He does say that, and also he takes it further and says every action really can be a little Beis HaMikdash, depending on how we approach it in our thought. If we find a way to dedicate it to Hashem, then that maisa becomes a little miniature Beis HaMikdash.
Which is really a massive concept.
It is.
Especially now since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we build it in a different way, build it in a different form.
But would we have had this conversation if there still was a Beis HaMikdash?
Sure, because you still have to take that into a person's life outside of the actual Makom HaMikdash. Now, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, that's fine, but what about when you're out in the field or you're doing business or you're driving from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv and there's other things going on that you need to attend to? Yeah.
So there's almost like successive layers of Mikdash.
Of Beis HaMikdash, right?
Right. You know? Even during the time.
Yeah.
If you were in, we were in the courtyard and there was...
then that's the actual physical Beis HaMikdash, but it has
around ourselves,
right,
depending on what we were doing. You
right.
know, all those actions,
right,
the bringing,
right?
And all
that's
that,
right.
That's really...
And that's his lesson here. Just taking a look at that one more time, where he says, Vasuli Mikdash. Just find that again. About 6 lines, 7 lines up. Hu b'chol ma'asei ha'adam. The concept of making a Beis HaMikdash, it applies to every human act. He says it in the Mefurish. Find a way to in machshava, to attribute what you're about to do to our Kaddish Baruch. Yes, Josh?
How would one, if a person is looking at something he'd like to do and looks at the ratzon that he's got on that action or that he, no matter how he looks at it, it's entirely selfish, entirely for himself. How would one attach that? I mean, how would one consider it a Shem Shemayim?
Probably by not doing following through with it. So sometimes that's the conclusion too, that this is something I can't do. There's nothing in this which is of a redeeming nature. Therefore, I will not do it.
Not that
there is
not
a
Shem Shemayim by somebody else, but just for oneself.
Say it again.
If someone else could do the same thing and call it, you know, have the Shem Shemayim reason, but for oneself, and the only reasons that one could come up with are...
I think one has to question whether or not to go through with that, unless it's a command from Hashem. Like, for example, if a person says, I'm only putting on my tzitzis today because I'm really cold, and if it wasn't, you know, for that, I wouldn't put them on. Put them on anyway. Don't say, well, since this is totally self-serving, I won't put on my tzitzis. Put them on. That's a command from Hashem. Or if someone says, I'm really only giving tzedakah in this particular instance because I know it's going to give me glory, and if it didn't give me glory, I wouldn't give it anyway. Because that's a mitzvah. The kavan needs to be worked on. But if there's no chiyuv, if there's no structure of mitzvah on it, and a person finds they're only doing it, you know, for some self-centered reason, there's no other reason, I think one has to think about whether they should actually go through with that.
Yeah. Stretner once said, he says, if a person thinks of a new way to serve God, he should keep it privately in the heart as if he had pregnant for 9 months. He says, and if it's still there, then you can trust that it comes from something called
hope. Okay, that was that maimer on 137. Let's take a look at another, right? Okay, we're going to look at the very next mimer. It's a little difficult. But that's no chiddush, but this was same. It's on page 138 on the top, the very next page, top of the page. This is an Ador Mimer. We're in Tuf Reish Lamed Dalet. It's the second Mimer of Tuf Reish Lamed Dalet. It's the top of the page on the right. Right. This is from the Gemara. Harotze Sheyus Kaimu Nuches Savita Bohen Ador. A person who wants their property, their possessions, to endure, they should plant an ador in them. So of course the question is, what is an ador? What does it mean to plant an ador? Is it a kind of a tree, or is it something else? Apia Gemara, is based on the Gemara, Shenuchasim Nikru, why are people's possessions called Nuchasim? That's one of the words in Hebrew that connotes what you own, Nuchasim. Like it says in the Ksuba Nuchasim, the Yisbahon Achrayis, the Leisbahon Achrayis.
It's the same shorsh as kos, like kosi, koso and kaso, their pocket, isn't it?
Like a person's, that's Keith. I'm not sure. Same shorsh. Because I don't know what the shorsh of Keith is. The word Keith means pocket, but I don't know if it's kaf samache or, I'm not sure.
Because that would be like
it's covering, right. Seems like it. And if that's the case, that is. He's going to say it's the same. Yeah. Hashem shenichsin mizeh v'nigla lezeh. What does it mean that a person's properties are his nechasin? That they are concealed from one and they are revealed to another. Difficult phrase. A person must give over to Hashem, like, all that he owns, so that they will endure and be maintained in the mida of hatsneya, of privacy. So nechasim is that a person is to approach their property with a sense of hatsneya leches, not being ostentatious, not being flashy about it, and to know that it belongs to God. So it's private. The ha'itzah lezeh, how do you do this? Right? How do you come up with a way to attribute everything you own to Hashem, and in that respect, it keeps it quiet and private. Lihiyos haratzon be'emes l'Hashem yisborach bilvad. Not such a simple thing. That a person should exclusively have a ratzon only to Hashem Yisbarach. If a person takes everything they have and say, it's all from God and it's all for God, that's all you have to do. Right. No problem, right? V'haklal, and the rule is, Ki'im Hashem Yisbarach misayeh leha'adim shalo legalos ma'asef. If God helps a person so as not to have to reveal their deeds, if God helps a person to remain private, Husimen shehu l'shem shamay be'emes. This is a sign that this person is operating for the sake of heaven. But if God helps somebody to remain private, that's a simen that what they're doing is l'shem shamay. U'kishem yis'arev ritzonos acherim. But when other things, other desires get mixed into that which we do, eino miskayim b'makom ha-mechusa, then what we have is not maintained in a private place. It's forced out. It's forced outward. Now, what he's saying now is that we do not value, in this respect, being well known. And the Maggid of Meserich said, I heard this from Rabbi Twersky, Zichrono Livracha, that he was punished with fame. Was punished with fame because he once traveled unnecessarily on Chol HaMoed. I don't know what the Mita Keneged Mita was. That's what he said. He was punished with fame because he once traveled unnecessarily on Chol HaMoed. So they looked at fame as something that was a hindrance, you know, yeah, to their avoda.
That was Hershey Park.
That's Simchas Yom Tov.
That's not
family time, right? There's a Shlach HaKadosh that writes to spend family time on Chol HaMoed as part of Simchas HaMoed. So the idea here is that if a person is trying to, it's a little bit similar to what you were saying before, that from the thread that you keep something inside yourself and there's keel to it, and it lasts, it kind of shows that Hashem is being masking, like he's agreeing with you, other thoughts in mind, and ways to put obstacles before them that you have to deal with the public potential. Of course, there were many, many great sadikim who were very dangerous, right? And I'm sure they write it to this day, because they never, we did a lot of those sadikim, our credit started, we did them over there. Yes, sir,
friend. So then, how can you get children, and how can you grow up without that training? Well, it could be created, and all the models out there
coming out. Okay, so here's the Maisa, right? This is a Maisa, one of the sadikim, I'm sorry, I forgot who it was, but he said to the people, I'm going to reveal two of the 11 of sadikim. So naturally, the big crowd came to the base because of the one they were. And he said one of them, I don't remember who it was. And he said, and the second, I'm going to reveal to you, is the Kaddish Ramani. So everybody says, that's not Shechet and Shechet. Yeah, we all know, everybody knows the Kaddish. You see the man is a Kaddish, just by looking at him, nobody does. So the Tzaddik said that what makes him one of the Lamedav Tzaddikim is not what you can see. That's just a little bit of who he is. What makes him one of the Lamedav Tzaddikim is all the things that he does that none of us know about. So learn from people, we learn from great people and teachers, and our children do. But the real depth of our avoda, the real depth of our Nizmanenu, you know, that the real depth of a person's avoda is private. That's between us. But that private relationship with Hashem, that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the... I don't know. Maybe he lived before this Hasidim. He actually did live before this Hasidim. He says, if you want your nechassim, right, that whatever is done, it has to live with God, Aleph Dor. He doesn't say that.
You can do one more, huh? Mm-hmm.
Something that it's kept private. The lesson of Ravoda, and he doesn't force the person to come out with it. And when a person is forced to go out with something, it could be because there are other interfering desires. Talmidei Hamagen, yeah. I think they'll put a company in there, Martin.
I think
it was Yisrael. Was Yisrael, right?
It's called that.
Okay, sorry. $149, bottom left. The Eis Kolish, Hashem says, take from me truma from each man, from each person. Hapirish. Shuk vaz nas in achas. And then when that occurs, they become united. Sevim. Umakablin zemizet. They receive one from the other. Venosnin rish. Ubamidrash shatama Moshe Rabbeinu levasholam. The Midrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu wondered. Afilu echad yochol la'asosa. Not only can all the Jewish people do this, even one person. It's possible to say that this really is referring to. He asks, how can we do this? Hashem says to him, not only that, but well, ubekoach Moshe Rabbeinu alav Hashalom. It was through the power of one person who's able to unite all the others. And who is that one person? It's you, Moshe Rabbeinu Lamorom. You went up to heaven. Af sorerim lishkon. I don't know the rest.
Time to erect it.
Actually fell.
I thought that it was